Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Usable water bottles.
No!
Don't let microplastic micro monsters invade your body. Find more ways to fight back at stopmicromonsters.org.
Go! Tell your smart speaker to play 97.5 and 1240 KFH. Kansas Fan Headquarters, 97.5 and 1240 KFH Wichita. KNSS HD2 Clearwater and Odyssey Sports Station.
Hey Wichita, it's Jacob Albrock. Stay right there for the latest breaking in sports talk. It's Sports Daily coming up next exclusively on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Brad Evans here to help you beat the Bulls with Westwood One Sports.
Like a good neighbor, Malik will be there. Looking spring and spry in Giants camp, the uber-talented receiver is poised to bounce back. Given his large target share, soft hands, and downfield abilities, he crosses a 1,000-yard mark at plus 125. Hashtag Team Rivals. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetMGM app today.
Andy Ortiz. When I lost my mom, she was only 46, and I lost my dad to cancer. It was the worst pain I ever felt. It made me think, what will happen with the people I love when my time is up? That's why I have life insurance. Ethos makes it easy. It's all online, take about 10 minutes, and you can get up to $3 million in coverage.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/game. That's ethos.com/game. Paid testimonial. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
This is an Odyssey Sports Minute.
Debo Samuel is making a homecoming with the San Francisco 49ers. He signed a one-year deal to return to the Bay. This is a good move for the 49ers. They have injury issues at the position with Ricky Pearsall, and you're bringing back a guy that already knows the offense and already knows how to fit into the offense. He's not in his prime, Debo Samuel, but he certainly doesn't make your team worse. I'm Denton Day.
Work, school, when's the next long weekend?
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Looks like me and Vincent caught you boys at breakfast. Sorry about that. Jeb?
Hamburgers.
Hamburgers! The cornerstone of any nutritious breakfast. You know what they call a quarter pounder with cheese in France?
No.
Tell them, Vincent.
Royale with cheese.
Royale with cheese. You know why they call it that?
Because of the metric system.
Check out the big brain on Brad. You're a smart motherfucker, that's right.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily.
Don't mess with me, I'm one crazy mofo. I had to pop a cop because he wasn't giving me my props in Oaktown.
You are not cool.
No, I heard that somewhere.
Jabroni.
Well, hey there, everybody. Welcome into Sports Daily. Glad to be here with you. Jacob Albrock, TJ Cleland, joining momentarily for his final Sports Daily. As full-time host, we'll get you the latest on those show changes coming up next week in just a little bit. We're glad to be here with you. A lot of different little things happening yesterday kind of gives us a busy news day today. Some interesting things coming out of Chiefs camp. The college sports legislation latest is quite a bit to cover from the last time we talked, plus different legal challenges in the college world involving some Shockers players are happening with eligibility. So we'll get you the latest on that as well. The Royals. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. The Royals on the wrong side of history. My goodness. Are you kidding me? It was unbelievable, an unbelievable way to lose. Quite literally unbelievable the way that they lost that game last night. Yesterday afternoon, I should say. Wild way. Historically bad. We'll get into it. We'll have our Royals insider Jalen Thompson in to discuss it. And everything with the Royals headed up to the trade deadline as well. And we'll continue to, you know, get you ready for the football season and all the things, the weekend's events. It is Sports Daily. It's all what's on tap, brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company, featuring Oztoberfest, the deeply copper-colored German-style lager that'll make you click your heels, grab your stein, and follow the copper brick road to the land of Oztoberfest. Wichita Brewing Company, pizza and beer made here. Glad to have you with us. All the different ways you can take in this program. You can listen to us, of course, and you are over the air on KFH. We have you there on 97.5 FM, 1240 AM. If you're listening there, you can simply call us at 869-1240. If we have you that way, too, you can email us at sportsdaily@kfhradio.com. You can also find us on all the different video platforms. We have you on 12 News Connected right now. We also have you on Facebook, on YouTube, on X. All of those places are available for you to just simply leave a video comment. If you do that, we can take that out over the air as well. You can also listen to us on the Odyssey app anytime, anywhere, right at the palm of your hand. That gives you the option to send us a voice message. That will come through. You just hit the little microphone if you're listening to us, and that comes through that way. I'm Jacob Albrock, Max Power producing today. This is the final day of the current format. Starting next week, the show moves to 8 to 11 live. We have all kinds of fun things in store for that. You'll be able to call and get in touch with the show all the way until 11 o'clock. Brady Bowman, who you've heard periodically throughout the last few weeks, is going to come on the show on a full-time basis. We'll still have TJ in the mix from time to time. He'll be popping in and out, and certainly as we're in the football season on Fridays, to talk high school football and everything going on there as well. So it should be fun. It should be a fun way to kick off the fall here pretty quick. We're going a couple of weeks earlier than things get really crazy, but we'll get in as quickly as we can. All right, we've talked a ton about this, so let me give you the latest on the college sports legislation that did not happen yesterday here off the top. The Big Ten and the SEC continue to push back on this. The senators who have put it together, they are not very optimistic that there's going to be another version of this, at least with them right now. That it didn't pass all these deadlines. The deadlines did not make it. The Big 12 has been supportive with some concerns. The ACC has been supportive, according to reports, with some concern. The SEC didn't even vote on this. Notre Dame informed that they have been supportive of this. So it is what it's always been. It's been the Big Ten and the SEC. They just are not all the way on with this. So they needed to hit yesterday's deadline to get it to a vote. Ross Dellinger, who's covered this well for Yahoo, says, while the bill's chances of a vote next week are in peril, Majority Leader John Thune could still file cloture for the Protect College Sports Act on Monday evening once the Senate's session begins. Potentially scheduling it for a late week vote calls it a narrow path. A narrow path is not no path. Keep that in mind. There was some talk yesterday that the president has implored for this to make its way through, which could reignite some of the base to maybe hear this a little longer than they would. I get it. I'm as frustrated as anybody. It's like you're taking a month-long recess. Like why can't stuff like these deadlines and things, the way our government works, goes a little above my head and sometimes doesn't make sense. Like if we have something that needs to get done, let's work until the work gets done. But that's not how it works. And there's stuff in there that the Big Ten and the SEC don't like. And it's too bad that we just can't have nice things here, that this thing is too far reaching to appease everybody. Because on the same day we can't get this to the finish line, we see a class action lawsuit on the 5-5 deal. Two shockers, Kenyon Giles and Emmanuel Okorafor, are a part of that class action lawsuit, according to Jeff Goodman. Looking for what we knew would happen when we set, when that rule was put in place, that what about the guys who just finished their last year who hadn't yet exhausted 5 years of eligibility and they think they ought to be able to play? And of course, that clock has to start somewhere. If you don't start it last year, you'd have to go to the year before, and then those players would have a case in theory. So I don't know where that goes, but what I do know is every decision the NCAA tries to make gets challenged in court. And until you get legislation, I'm not sure how you can fix that part of it. I'm not sure how you can give the NCAA the teeth it needs to make decisions and enforce them without the backing of legislation. I'm just not sure. So we'll see where all that goes. But that's the latest. We didn't get anywhere, basically, yesterday. There's confusion. I'll take you through what one of the senators who sponsored the bill had to say about one of the things that's being bandied about. And it's an interesting one. I don't know if it's the biggest holdup, but it's one that is worth discussion. So we can do it. It has to do with how players are paid away from the field, basically, kind of endorsement type thing. So we'll get you the latest there. We'll get you the latest on this lawsuit that reportedly features a couple shockers and one other KU player, by the way. Jaden Dawson, also a part of that lawsuit I mentioned, according to Jeff Goodman. So we'll get you all of those things, plus this Royals history and what an unbelievably excruciating loss we saw yesterday afternoon in Minnesota. What a brutal... They're playing so well, and they had two walk-off losses where they led in the ninth inning in that series. Unbelievable. The one yesterday, perhaps inexcusable. We'll get into all of it as we continue. It's Sports Daily on a Friday, everybody. Don't go away.
Royal Blue runs deep in this town. 97.5 and 1240 KFH, Kansas Fan Headquarters, brings you Royals insider Jalen Thompson of the Kansas City Star every Friday morning on Sports Daily. The inside story on your Kansas City Royals. Fridays on KFH, Wichita's most listened to sports radio. Always live on the free Odyssey app and at kfhradio.com.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, don't worry about me, I called ART.
Traffic. Expect normal drive times on the main roads, but be aware of construction on I-135 northbound between 21st and 37th Streets. Expect occasional road and ramp closures. From Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, that's your Odyssey Wichita traffic.
Weather. Friday morning, kicking off the day with a few storms early this morning, but those should clear out by sunrise. Looking at sunny skies this afternoon, a high of 95. Winds from the northwest about 15 to 25, could gust up to 30 at times. Tonight, looking at mostly clear skies, a low of 67 degrees. Saturday, a high of 88 degrees with those sunny skies. Breezy winds from the north will slowly begin to warm up into Sunday, back into the low 90s before even more heat expected heading into next week. That's your forecast from Storm Team 12. I'm meteorologist Halen Wilhite.
Basically, get out of the way.
The Dan Patrick Show.
Dan Patrick.
It's weird to win a Super Bowl. It's weird to have a couple of, 13-win seasons, and you still aren't sure about Sam Darnold. Like, did they win because of him? Did they win with him? He might be that guy who's got to keep doing it again and again until he's done with his career.
The Dan Patrick Show.
Dan and the Danettes and you.
Middays from 11 until 2 on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
More people listen to KFH than any other sports radio station in South Central Kansas, including Wichita. This is 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Dude, you gotta hear this. Hear this.
Go ahead. I think I want to hear this.
Sports Daily is on KFH.
right, welcome back in, everybody, to Sports Daily. Glad to have you with us. Longhofer Lawn and Tree Care, celebrating 60 years in Wichita, providing expert lawn care for a healthy lawn, tree and shrub care, and bed weed control since 1966. Longhofer Lawn and Tree Care. Glad to have you with us on Sports Daily. Jake Balbrock here, Max Power producing. You can call in the show, 869-1240. Royals fans, if you need to vent about last night, we'll do plenty of that throughout the show today, as well as get Jalen Thompson in. Look ahead to the trade deadline in Major League Baseball. If you want to discuss what's happening in the world of college sports with all these bills and legislation and senators and all the things, you can do that as well. Try to get you caught up from what was actually a pretty crazy day of nothing yesterday. I don't even know how to describe it. You know, what we saw yesterday, but it comes at the same time. We kind of have these two colliding things that would impact us here in the college sports world. So to the report that we got from Jeff Goodman yesterday, he put this out on X, says another class of 2022 5-for-5 lawsuits been filed in North Carolina seeking a temporary and permanent injunction, which would allow these players to play this year, which basically, again, says, you know, there were 5 years. They basically would fit the profile of the new rule, but it didn't get implemented until after they graduated. Okay, so essentially, you have not used your 5 years of eligibility in 5 years, right, since you've become a college player. And we knew this was going to be a problem, and I get it, and I understand the problem. Basically, any players that came in as freshmen, played, and then played 4 years of college athletics. We'll take basketball as this example because I think most of these in this lawsuit are all basketball players. So we'll take that and think about a guy like Kenyon Giles, who Goodman is reporting is in there. 2 years at Radford, a year at UNC Greensboro, and a year at Wichita State. Entered college in the class of 2022, finished in 2026. Under the new rule, he would have another year of eligibility this year. He'd be a whatever we end up calling true fifth-year players just in their 5th years. And because they had to start the timer somewhere, a guy like Giles just like and listen, a guy like Giles would have the ability to make a lot of money. Now, this may be too late for him to, you know, if he went in, let's call it the transfer portal right away and everybody knew he had a year and all these things, he would have made a lot of money, a lot of money. I don't know what kind of money's still out there this late in the game, but it would be something. So I totally get this one. And while you have to start the clock somewhere, because you do, it doesn't, it'd be a tough pill to swallow. Put yourself in these guys' shoes. You haven't done anything. You went into college 4 years ago, you played 4 years, you graduate, and then the year you're leaving, they say, oh, now we're going to give you a 5th year. All the while, guys are getting millions of dollars in NIL opportunities to just sit there and be like, that's bad timing. That's really costly bad timing for a guy like Kenyon Giles. So this lawsuit, they want to try to get a year of eligibility out of this, basically. I get it. It makes me, you know, we knew this. We brought this up when this rule got put in place. What happens to those players? I can tell you that Wichita State knew this was going to be a thing. This has been on their minds. I've talked to people around and within the program that have that months and months and months ago acknowledged this is on the radar, not just for them, but for coaching staffs all across the country. We have to keep this in mind when we're out recruiting. What if these guys find another year, right? Emmanuel Okorafor is also on that list for Wichita State. You're talking about two of the more important players for the Shockers last year. Leading scorer, a big that's pretty irreplaceable, hard to find. So you have this out there now, and it makes you wonder and think, like, honestly, they have a good case. Like, if there's not a law, basically, which we're not going to get at this point, saying the NCAA can do whatever it wants on eligibility, I would imagine they have a really strong case with this. And it makes me wonder, too, why the NCAA, like hindsight, of course, because while we understood this was going to be a problem, didn't really know what you could do about it, because there's always going to be somebody who didn't get the benefit of this. Like, if they gave it back to the class Giles is in, well, then the class of 2021 guys who fit that, be like, well, then I should have another year of eligibility. Class of 2020 guys who only played 4 years, well, then I should have another year of eligibility. I get that. So I think at some point you would exhaust the player pool, right? Guys, teams wouldn't be interested in going back and grabbing those players. But if you don't start a timer, what about that guy who's, you know, 31 years old, not good enough to play in the NBA anymore, but absolutely would become one of the better college basketball players when there's millions of dollars on the line? They would. We've seen it. I mean, we've seen it pretty much. So you had to start it somewhere, but it really does suck, especially for that class of 2022. I don't know where this goes. I really don't. I think they've got a pretty good case here, but this is one of many reasons we need this legislation to come through and allow college athletics and the NCAA or whoever, whatever it is, to actually come up with some guidelines that they can enforce without it being challenged all the time. Honestly, the way I lay that case out to you, how do you think that should go? Is it fair to this group of players? There's a bunch of them on the list Jeff Goodman tweeted out yesterday. A bunch of them. You know, Giles Okorafor on there and Jaden Dawson from Kansas. We already know Melvin Council is challenging his eligibility at KU, and it appears that they're behind it. Like, not behind it. They're supportive of it, I should say. Correct the way I say that. Because he thinks his junior college years shouldn't be counted against his eligibility. So you have a case. That one's even more crazy and complicated with everything. So this is the world we live in, and I do think people are tired of this stuff. They're tired of eligibility questions. They're tired of the transfer portal. The things that are being fought about in Washington, people don't really care about. They just don't. They're not trying to take care of the most important things. We're stuck working on the things that don't matter nearly as much to people. That becomes the problem. We've got the decision makers of college athletics who can see this stuff all firsthand fighting with congressional leaders about associated entity language in the Protect College Sports Act. Again, I love this analogy. I use it a lot in business. Your house is on fire, but you're trying to build a pool in the backyard. Like, take care of the problem that's right at hand before you get into the other things. If this sweeping legislation can't solve the house on fire, then do something that solves the house on fire. Then go worry about all this other stuff. The house on fire is eligibility. The house on fire is endless transfer portal transactions. That's the house on fire for college athletics right now. It's making it unaffordable for a lot of institutions and schools. It's making difficult decisions that nobody likes an inevitability. And it makes fans not as interested. They're tired of it. Ted Cruz tweeted yesterday, he's one of the co-authors of this bipartisan legislation, there's confusion about how the cap and associated entity language work, he says. Let him clear it up. The cap is a hard cap, full stop. The loophole is closed. Once a school hits the cap, a player can still do NIL deals on the open market if the deal is genuinely commercial and the school's not directing it. That's the line. He says some commissioners want more to bar any company doing business with a school from signing that school's players so that a quarterback couldn't sign with Nike because Nike has a separate contract with the university. Cruz says that's not protecting a cap. That's blocking a kid from selling his own name. He says every pro league works this way. If the team doesn't direct it, the player earns it. What is the objection? He's saying there's not a loophole. So you've got conferences saying and trying to push through, according to Ted Cruz, rules that would say, nah, man, if they're giving us money, they can't also give the players money. Now, why would they do that? Why would a school do that? Think about it. Because they're afraid they'll get less money from said endorser. If you're Duke and Nike wants to give Zion Williamson a bag of money, are they less inclined to give as much money to the program and the school as a whole? That's what they're afraid of. It is amazing to me that we've done all of this work and change over the last 6 or 7 years in NIL and schools constantly trying to be supportive, some schools. And at the end of the day, we get to this thing in this linchpin is that the schools don't want to share NIL money. I mean, you got to give me a break on this. Like, we can't go back. It's like we've fallen back into the college stone ages. Why on earth would a school care about the private NIL deals being given to players? Imagine pro sports. And that was a great analogy by the senator. Imagine pro sports doing that. Imagine the Chiefs coming and saying, oh, man, Patrick Mahomes, we're sorry, man. You can't do a Coors Light deal. We sell Coors Light in the stadium, and they endorse us. They can also endorse you. I mean, could you imagine that? No chance, right? Patrick Mahomes can do whatever he wants. Can he wear a Chiefs jersey in a Coors Light ad? No. The Chiefs own that jersey. Great. If a player wants to do an endorsement deal with an apparel company, then yeah, they can't also, you know, take the benefit of being a player at Kansas. You have your own deal. He'll be in street clothes in that Nike commercial. Probably wearing the Nike shoes they would like kids to buy. It's if this legislation gets torched because these conferences and these schools don't want to share that money, we will have made no progress. All this insanity the last few years. It's like you just light a match. If the reason this doesn't pass is because now we've got schools and leagues trying to go back to limiting the earning power of players, that can't be what we're back to now. That's never what's said out loud by any coaches or administrators or universities. They're fully supportive of their players earning and being compensated and being taken care of. And we're going to tell you this. Why? So that they can recruit these players. But then we turn around, we have legislation in front of us that solves a lot of the actual house on fire issues of the sport. And it's being held up by some league commissioners who are trying to protect their ability to earn the most money, which I get. That's what they're paid to do. But you got to make a decision. You got to make a decision on what you want. The threats of we'll break away and do our own thing, I don't know that anybody's buying that. Go for it. You've got some coaches across the country saying, good luck. Don't let the door hit you in the you know what on the way out. Have fun trying it. It's not going to work. I'm not surprised that this is having such a hard time. This is what Tommy Tuberville was talking about when he put a much simpler bill forward that simply solves enforcement issues for the NCAA and the transfer portal. And it enforces and codifies, I think, the 5-5, again, eligibility stuff. That's why I put that out there. I don't know that we're ever going to get the cohesion we need with so many different interests on a wide sweeping piece of legislation like this. I don't know. The softer deadlines have passed. We saw the president put some public pressure back on, which could probably give some procedural rope to the Senate to get this to a vote, but it can't get it to a vote if these colleges aren't even willing to vote on it. We didn't get votes in some of these leagues. It's crazy. It's crazy. If that's the holdup, that's a silly thing to be held up on. Let players take endorsement deals. Again, there's language in there that says it has to be for actual, like, commercial value, business value, not shady bag under the table. Like, kid wants to be in a car commercial. It's fine. It doesn't count against the cap. The schools can still do what they want to do against the cap and reach them. What do the schools want here? What do these commissioners want? Well, yeah, they'd like to have a lower cap number so they don't have to spend as much and then tell the kids they can't go out and also earn on the open market. It all has to go through the school so they can control it. You don't think they... Why is Major League Baseball about to have a likely lockout over a salary cap? You think the ownership doesn't want to be able to spend the most money they can spend? They'd love to say, oh man, sorry, we just can't spend that much. We got a salary cap. That's as much as we can spend. Of course they'd want that. Does this have to get to the messier point of collective bargaining in college? You think that's going to be easy? There's, what, 200 schools out there? How do you even define who's in and who's out? My goodness. Like, why can't we just have nice things? Just fix the transfer portal. Fix the transfer portal. Nobody cares about anything else. You fix the transfer portal, you won't have any problem selling tickets. You guys can get in a room and bicker over TV contracts and expansion and all that other stuff all you want. Just fix the transfer portal. That's what the fans want. It's what coaches want. Just let me, you know, fall in love with players again that aren't just leaving immediately. That's all anybody's really asking for. Let this other stuff, let it happen somewhere else, man. Like, it's one of the rare times it doesn't appear like we should be blaming Congress for a logjam to get through legislation. And by the way, you're senators and Congress people. Since when do you need the permission of anybody to pass good legislation? You don't need permission from these schools. You can take their advice. Yeah, you're representing a lot of them, but you're also representing their constituents. You're representing their fans, the people that go to these schools, the people that support these schools. What do you think they want? Don't be held hostage by university presidents to do the right thing, to do things that are the best for the players. Don't do that. I'm a little bothered by that too. Why do they need the Big Ten presidents to vote? Who cares? If it's the right legislation, it's the right legislation. Yeah. Things will vote. Blame all around. Ensues. In Washington. Jacob Albrock here on Sports Daily. Your thoughts. Welcome here. You can send us video comments, Facebook, YouTube, X. We'll come back. The wrong side of history for the Royals. My goodness, what an excruciating loss. One bad enough that changes could be made? We'll discuss that on the other side. It's Sports Daily. On a Friday, TGIF. Don't go away.
If you bleed purple, this is your station. 97.5 and 1240 KFH, Kansas Fan Headquarters, brings you K-State insider Tim Fitzgerald of GoPowerCat.com every Thursday morning on Sports Daily. Basketball, football, everything Wildcats. Thursdays on KFH, Wichita's most listened to sports radio. Always live on the free Odyssey app.
Hey, what's up, Flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on
video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big name celebrities. And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips. Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Get paid.
From the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, don't worry about me. I called ART.
Traffic. Expect normal drive times on the main roads, but be aware of construction on I-135 northbound between 21st and 37th Streets. Expect occasional road and ramp closures. From Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, that's your Odyssey, Wichita traffic.
Weather.
Friday morning, kicking off the day with a few storms early this morning, but those should clear out by sunrise. We have sunny skies this afternoon, a high of 95. Winds from the northwest about 15 to 25, could gust up to 30 at times. Tonight, looking at mostly clear skies, a low of 67 degrees. Saturday, a high of 88 degrees with those sunny skies. Breezy winds from the north will slowly begin to warm up into Sunday, back into the low 90s before even more heat expected heading into next week. That's your forecast from Storm Team 12. I'm meteorologist Halen Wilhite.
Jim Rome.
The NBA will not punish Bam Adebayo for punching Tyler Hero in a Las Vegas gym. Hilarious. Punish him. They should thank him. They should create an award and name it after him. The Bam Adebayo NBA Man of the Year Award. Punish him. Him punching Tyler Hero in the face in a Las Vegas gym after Hero cracked him to some rando on social was far and away the best thing that has happened this NBA offseason. Shoot, I would argue it was better than anything that happened during the entire NBA regular season. And had it not been the Knicks that won it all, I would have even called it the single best thing that happened in the entire last calendar year in the association. Punish him. Powder should rip the MVP award from SGA and walk it right over to Bam right now. Punish him. The league loves it as much as the rest of us do.
Jim Rome, afternoons at 2 on 97.5 and 1240 KFH, Wichita's most listened to sports radio.
Basically, get out of the way.
The Dan Patrick Show.
Dan Patrick.
A lot of times when you have a champion, there is a let's try to follow their blueprint. They had two guys that were taking up a majority of their payroll in Boston. And as a result, that's where you have to look and go, we can't continue to do this.
The Dan Patrick Show.
Dan and the Danettes and you.
Middays from 11 until 2 on 97.5 and 1240 KFH. It's time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
Welcome back in, everybody, to Sports Daily. Jake Valbrock here with you on this Friday. Last Friday of the current show format before we switch things up next week. We go 8 to 11 starting Monday. 3 live hours for you here on Sports Daily. We will be excited for some changes. It'll be really good. We'll get guests. Boy, when we're in the fall, I went over the guest list yesterday. This thing's going to be awesome. We're happy to be brought to you in part by Crestview Country Club. Really happy to be out there and want you to give them a shot, take a tour, and check out why my family's been out there so long. Great pool, great kids camps and activities and fun. And there's, of course, then all the golf, 36 holes, with great kids programs to get them introduced to golf. Tennis is out there. Tennis is taking back off. I'll tell it. Tennis is getting wild. You don't drive around a tennis court anywhere in town and not see people out there playing. It's an interesting and pretty cool comeback. Well, Crestview's got indoor and outdoor courts, 8 of them, I think, and lessons and all the cool stuff and leagues. Give them a call. Go take a tour. Tell them we sent you here from Sports Daily, and you'll see why we think it's such a great place. All right, we come back here on Sports Daily. This Royals loss yesterday, 2 games in this series, the Royals blow the game in the ninth, not just tied in the ninth inning, right? They were leading these games in the ninth innings. And they end up losing the series because of it. They continue to play really well, right? They should have swept this series against Minnesota, a team that's at 500 now. That is agonizing to see them start to play well. Even without Bobby Witt Jr., remember, in this series. I cannot imagine what it's like in that locker room right now. Noah Cameron goes 8 innings of one-hit baseball. One. You take a 3-0 lead into the ninth after Noah Cameron just gave you 8 innings of one-hit baseball. Unbelievable. Unbelievable to come in and blow it in the ninth. Lucas Ursa got off to a good start, got 2 quick outs, then got 3 base runners on. Okay, what do you do then? So you're sitting there for 8 2/3 innings. You've got no problem here. Nobody on, you're in good shape. And then Ursa loads the bases. So what do? You've got the Royal Killer coming up, Cody Clemens, a lefty. We're going to go find a lefty in the bullpen, right? And the luck has it. You got one of the best lefties in all of baseball, one of the best lefty relievers in all of baseball. But that's not who you go get. You're going to go get one of the worst lefty relievers in all of baseball to bring into that situation against that hitter, and you give up one of the most historically unlikely home runs that you can give up. Just to put some perspective on this ultimate grand slam to end the game, there have only been 15 of those ever with 2 outs. That is more rare than a perfect game. It's only the 34th time it's ever happened. It's the first time it's happened for the Twins, and the stats don't go back far enough to guarantee this as far as actual counts. There is some belief out there this may be the first one ever on an 0-2 count. The Royals lose, heads are hanging, and Matt Quatraro makes one of the most boneheaded pitching decisions we've seen all year, and he's made lots of them. And as we welcome in TJ Cleland.
I see I joined at a good spot.
I told you this yesterday, man. I don't like getting into person should be fired. That's not really my style. But I look back at the last 2 years, how disappointing they've been, the silliness of Jack Caglione early in this year, decisions like we saw last night. Why are we going to Matt Strom in that scenario, who now has an ERA approaching 7? A Daniel Lynch pitched each of the last 2 days. You're asking him to come in and get one guy out. He's a reliever. He can pitch 3 days in a row.
Yeah, I think that it's one thing if they put Strom out there for the full inning, because I think that there's something to, it's not a one-run game. It's not a tie game. Like, sure. You have a cushion, and I think that's probably what they did Ursig. That's why they put him out there. They didn't really need the true closer if that's what they want to consider Lynch as. I don't even know if they want to consider him the true closer anymore at all. And then to see him go out there for one batter, and I get the lefty-lefty matchup, but again, Daniel Lynch is a lefty too. I saw somebody say online yesterday, Mark Paolo said, the definition of insanity, and you see the 3 guys that they put out there late in games of Ursek, Lang, and Matt Strom, and just to see it happen yesterday, it's the most frustrating way, and not just, I've said 100 times, is that the Royals aren't a bad team, they just find ways to lose games, and last night was the perfect example of that.
They've lost them in weirder ways as almost at any, at a pace matching anybody. I believe they have the worst team ERA in baseball. They're not a good team. They have a good lineup. They have a lot of good young players. But is there any way, if we get to the deadline on Monday and the Royals do indeed take the path that most people think they'll take right now, which is hang on to almost everybody. They're keeping all their controllable assets, essentially. The only players they'll trade are the expiring contracts. If they go down that road and they end up still, they're at 18 games under 500 right now, right? Let's say they go 18 games under 500. How many, what is that? 81 minus 9, 72 wins, 72 and 90 this year. If they get to 72 and 90 and they have run it back, what world could Matt Quatraro return as this team's manager?
Yeah.
There's no way with what they're investing in it, you can do it a third time.
I think that there is becoming a fork in the road. And I think that I saw yesterday, I need to double check this, but I think Jeff Passan said something that the Royals are not inclined to rebuild because they like their core. And it's the same thing that we've said. But it makes sense why you would say that. But again, you're at a fork in the road now to say that, okay, this hasn't worked for two straight years. Is it because of the team? Is it because of the decisions that are made around the team? I think that at some point there has to be, the scapegoat in one way or another. And not really a scapegoat because it's not working. It's not like they're placing blame on something that needs blame placed on them. You have to make the decision and decide which isn't working, because I'm sure that there is a world where you can keep, you know, the coaching staff and do all those things and build a roster that works with the coaching staff. But I think that, results have shown you that the roster that they have does not work with the way that they coach. And so that's nobody's fault. It just doesn't work. And I think
putting in Matt Strom last night in that scenario is somebody's fault. Not playing Jack Caglione for much of the early part of the season is somebody's fault. Like, there is blame to cast in some of these scenarios. There just is. And I like Quatraro. I do. I like his attitude. I like his approach. I like his background, but it is not working. And these kinds of decisions, you're just like, why? Like, this, the scenario has played itself out, right? I even get the Lucas Ursig thing. They're trying to get him back right. And with his stuff and his history, I'm willing to work through some things with him, right? When you make the decision to not let him finish the inning, which I'm also okay with, that cannot be the guy you go get. He's like the only guy that's been worse than Ursig lately. I mean, you just can't. Is Lang your closer or not? No. I know he blew it Monday, but I'd rather see him than Strom.
I think that may be more weird than not going to Lynch. It's just the fact of saying that, you know, we don't need him as a true save situation because we're up three, so Ursig could handle it. And then to take him out and be like, okay, how about Strom? I think that it's like, you know, why not the actual closer if we're going to do that at that point? I don't understand.
Or
I guess
why
it's a lefty,
not the but best lefty reliever perhaps in all of baseball this year?
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, it's just, it's ludicrous. I had, when they brought Ursig in the ninth, and, you know, it's the middle of the day, so you're not like locked in all the way. But, you know, Ursig has been still shaky lately, but he had gotten his ERA down about a run since, you know, in a little more than a month's time. And it's like, okay. And so I was like, well, with Lang's blown save on Monday, maybe they're giving Ursig the closer job back, right? Because Lang's pretty shaky anyway. I'm like, that's an interesting development. So I don't know if that was the plan. I mean, Ursig came out and got two outs, no problem. That's the crazier part. Like, the whole scenario is so wild.
I agree.
But
it's not like bases got loaded. He tried to work his way out of it a little bit. I mean, he had two outs, and then I think every batter that ensued had two strikes on him. And it was, and he hit him. And then he walked him, full count. Then he gave up a base hit with a ball that Royce Lewis chased out of the zone. And then an 0-2 count, and the guy hits the ultimate grand slam. It's unbelievable how that happens. That's crazy.
Matt Strom has given up runs in five of his last seven appearances. Daniel Lynch, by comparison, let me just pull up his full list of games because he hasn't. This is Matt Strom has given up runs. What did I just say? 5 out of his last 7. Daniel Lynch has given up runs in 1 out of his last 14 appearances. Bases are loaded. Game's unraveling. One reliever, one lefty, has given up a run in 5 of his last 7 appearances. The other lefty has given up a run, in his last 14 appearances. Who do you trust to get you an out?
Yep.
It's not even hard. Mm-hmm. Early in the year, young power hitting, potentially cornerstone franchise player who has around a year service time in the big leagues is up. A lefty's up. You go to the platoon. Like, what? Sometimes you don't have to think that hard. Just put in your best players.
Again, I'm sure that they're probably, and as there always is, it's not like, to their credit, Matt Quatraro is never making decisions of saying, ah, screw it, maybe we'll put this guy in. Let's see what happens. I think that there usually is the decisions, and it was probably like,
I'm sure the decision was he pitched the last 2 nights.
There's that, and I'm sure that Strom is like, well, maybe we could get him an out here. Maybe that'll help him in the long run and do it. And it's like, sometimes you got to win the games that you're playing.
Daniel Lynch, you need him potentially to throw one pitch. Can you throw one pitch? Can you get us one pitch here? Can you give him a, little big league? Rookie of the year. Can you just float one up to him? Give him the EPIS, see what he does with it. All right, we'll come back. Headlines I missed. Jalen Thompson will be in to talk about it when we return.
If you bleed crimson and blue, Wednesday mornings just became required listening. Catch Henry Greenstein from the Lawrence Journal World live every Wednesday morning as the official KU Insider on Sports Daily. From Allen Fieldhouse to the gridiron, Greenstein brings you breaking Jayhawk news, insider analysis, game previews, and direct access to Kansas athletics. Stay ahead of the game with Henry Greenstein every Wednesday morning on Sports Daily, only on Sports Radio KFH.
This is 97.5 and 1240 KFH, Wichita, K248CY Wichita, KNSS HD2 Clearwater, and Odyssey Sports Station.
From the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, don't worry about me, I called ART.
Traffic. Watch for construction on Southeast Boulevard northbound at 31st Street. It's causing a slight backup, so give yourself a few extra minutes there. From the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, that's your Odyssey Wichita traffic.
Weather.
Friday morning, kicking off the day with a few storms early this morning, but those should clear out by sunrise. Looking at sunny skies this afternoon, a high of 95. Winds from the northwest about 15 to 25, could gust up to 30 at times. Tonight, looking at mostly clear skies, a low of 67 degrees. Saturday, a high of 88 degrees with those sunny skies. Breezy winds from the north will slowly begin to warm up into Sunday, back into the low 90s before even more heat expected heading into next week. That's your forecast from Storm Team 12. I'm meteorologist Halen Wilhite.
Bet MGM tonight.
Baltimore, I think they're really going to feel the loss of Tyler Linderbaum at center, and I really feel like they're going to feel the loss of their fullback, Pat Ricard, who were both human battering rams. I am going to fade Derrick Henry. I hate to do it. 16 touchdowns last year. 16 touchdowns the year before that.
Weeknights starting at 5 on KFH, Wichita's most...
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.